I'd like you to notice Romans 7. It's a great text about two people that are in you. You have a sin nature and a new nature. The new nature is Christ in you. This is their amazing gift of grace given to us as sinners. We are saved. We have Christ in us. So Romans 7. Paul is describing the very deep, sometimes we say psychology, the Dr. Heckel or Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, that Robinson wrote that. And we have the story of two, one bad guy and then a good guy, and who will show up in any set of circumstances, and actually who is driving our life. So we have a sin nature, verse 11, Romans 7, just to introduce our text here. Verse 11, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. So sin is in me, and it can live and kill me. Sin can kill me, and it does. And there is so much pain and suffering that happens in life because of our sin nature, our pride. You know, pride is like bad breath. You don't know that you have it, but others know it. Yeah, it's like others can tell, but you might not know how proud. I don't know. We don't know how proud we are and what motivates us. So the commandment, the law, really makes our sin live. We really have a revival of sin by being told what to do and what not to do. And when we live in that realm of what to do and what not to do, we have a battle with our sin nature. And I can't believe I did what I shouldn't have done. And I can't believe that I did that. I did that. I can't believe that I did that. I've been disciplining myself and working at it for so long, and then I go ahead and I do that. And I knew I shouldn't, but I did. That's the sin nature that we have. And the world doesn't help us, and Satan doesn't either. The Trinity, sin nature, world, and the devil. So we have that, and we should be aware of it. And so Romans 7 is a description of how this works. And I'm just going to leave you with this thought. If you go to an evil man, if you talk to an evil man, I've got to find out how to do this here. Okay, is that up on the screen? Okay. If I talk to an evil man and he's an evil man, does he know that he is evil? Usually they don't. You said to Hitler, "You're an evil man," he doesn't know what you're talking about. Or Stalin, or Mao, or tyrant, or criminal. They may not know what you mean by evil. They don't understand. Maybe they don't care. But are you an evil? You are an evil man. Do you know who knows they are evil? People close to God. If you have God here, and you're close to God, that's when you know that you are evil. When you are close to God. How come? Because when you touch holiness, now you know what it is not to be holy. Do you get that? When you are spirit-filled, now you know what it is when you're in the flesh. You know what the flesh is because you have been spirit-filled. And because you have the knowledge of God, then it becomes obvious to you what it is that you really are. I'm a proud man. I'm an evil man. I have an evil nature. I have a problem. I have Romans 7 in my life. You see, you need to understand Romans 7 to appreciate Romans 8, which is an amazing message of what God has done for us through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, yeah, making you a saint. So this man discovers what it is to be holy by the Holy Spirit, and the unbeliever doesn't even, he may not even believe that there is any evil. They don't understand what we mean. Like pride. They never talk about pride. People don't talk about pride. The problem with your life is pride. And it's like, I don't know what you're talking about. My problem isn't pride. My problem is finances, education, my family, my background, where I came from. My problem is my upbringing, my neighborhood. My problem is my father, my boss, my job. That's my problem. And God is saying, no, it isn't. It isn't really. It isn't really. It is that you don't know me. You don't have me. You don't know life. You don't understand it. It's not about those things. It's about your relationship with me, what I will do for you, what I have done in giving you my son. I gave you my son. I gave you my son so you could have abundant life. I gave you my son so you could be free and free indeed. I gave you my son so that you could be holy and have the Holy Spirit and have freedom of yourself, freedom from Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. You know, the Mr. Hyde, you remember Mr. Hyde by his last name, Hyde, because he's hiding. The bad guy is hiding. He's hiding. He's you can't find him. He's hiding. He's the bad guy. Okay, so that'll be our text today. I'm so glad we're assembled here together in Jesus' name. I wonder if anything I just said helps you, resonates with you. Let me repeat it. You go to Adolf Hitler and say, you are an evil man. He goes, you got a problem. You got a problem. Like, he won't even answer you. He has no idea. The unbelievers have no idea. They even say there isn't any such thing as evil. And so we say we are evil because of our sin. Now, that doesn't mean I'm as evil as I could be, because that's only a matter of time and circumstances. Let me say one more thing here about this. I hope I don't. I've got my last slide here, and it is, in time, a sinner becomes worse. Okay? You are 7 years old and you tell a lie. That's different from when you're 70 years old. When you're 70 years old and you're lying and tell another lie and that you are a liar, what is it a million years later? A million years later, who are you? Who are you? Where are you? Where are you? In hell. What is hell? That's you. And who are you? You are a liar. But you're a lot more than a liar. You're a proud liar. You are you now, forever and ever. And nobody can change that. Nobody can change it. That's who you are forever and ever. And it doesn't get better. It's just who you are. And that's what it is to pass into eternity without Christ. So you have 70 years, God gives you the grace for that, to discover how bad you are, that you need Jesus Christ. You need to come to Jesus Christ by faith. And by the grace of God, he gave his son for us so that we could be regenerated. That new man is who you are. That's who you are. That's your new identity. That new man is who you are. And when you die, you don't actually die, because that new man doesn't die. He's eternal. Do you know you have eternal life in you now? This morning, you have eternal life in you, and that you will not die. You are alive forevermore. You live forever. Do you know that you are righteous like God, and that you will fly away, and that you will be with God by his great gift of his Son that was given to us so that we could know him? Isn't that amazing? Okay, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Honest. Praise God. Hallelujah. Wow. Wow. Philip, all day?
All day.
Okay, he said all day. Okay. So, where is that in the Bible? I think it's Psalm 34. His praise continually be in my mouth. Yeah, continually. Praise God. Beautiful. Okay. Content now. Can you listen to me for a few minutes? Can you listen and pay attention? Can you concentrate on it? Can you hear? Concentration is the highest form of worship. Like when you learn to concentrate and hear what I am saying, but behind what I am saying is what God is saying from his word. It's a great way of life. Have a focus and concentration. It's actually very enjoyable when you're listening and you're just in that zone of listening and what is the Spirit saying. Isn't that good? It is. It's a habit, a way of life, and it's a habit that you develop as a believer. It takes some deliberate, intentional listening. So let's do it. Let's go to Romans chapter 7, and I'm going to need a couple of chairs up here, like two chairs. I don't know how we're going to do that. Pastor Steve can do it, Brian, I think. You and I know you're helpful. Okay, there. We got two chairs and then one other chair. We got chairs coming out of falling from the sky. We got chairs. Yeah, right there is good. There we go, two chairs. Yeah, we don't need that, thanks. This will be a different chair. This is different in kind, this chair, right? I need these two. I'm sorry, Pesty. I need two. Yeah, I need two of the same kind. Okay, and then one that's different. Okay. Years ago, we taught about this way, and maybe you've heard me teach it, and I just want to say it again, and maybe it will help you understand the kind of people that we are. All of us, have what we're going to teach. And as born-again Christians, we all have a sin nature. And that sin nature came from eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. If you remember Genesis chapter 3, we were told not to eat of that tree. Why? Why did you do it? Turn to your neighbor and just say, why did you do it? Look at the mess we're in. Why did you do it? In the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Look at what happened. Why did you do it? Why did you do it? Okay. Now, we use that tree of knowledge, and we think about it and understand that this tree is a tree of knowledge, and your eyes will be opened, and you will be like gods, the devil said to Eve. And the tree was good for fruit, or good to eat, good for food. And so she took Eden, offered it to Adam. Adam, with his eye, he understood he was disobeying, and he disobeyed and sinned. The woman was more like led into the error. It says in 1 Timothy 2, she was deceived, kind of like tricked into it. She shouldn't have done it. But then added to that was she was used to tempt her husband. Hey, all the women here? Okay, Mother's Day was a month ago? Okay, that's over. Okay, Mother's Day is over. Okay. All right, so women are powerful. Women are powerful, and I think you know that you are powerful in many ways with regards to men. And you have a big effect on men. You are influential. Eve affected her husband, and he had a decision. God or my wife? God or this woman? God or this woman? Obey God or not? Do what my wife is saying or asking or suggesting or tempting me. So that's what happened. Human race fell into sin, and it's a disaster. This sin nature, we took in us, something changed. We are under a curse. Something changed in our mindset. We live without God. Romans 3:10-18. That's a great text of scripture. I don't know God. I don't understand God. I don't seek God. I don't care about God. I don't talk about God. I'm not thinking about God. I'm living my life as a sinner without God. Okay? Yeah, yes, we have religion. We have God. We have God and gods. We have gods. You know, this is the thing about paganism. They had gods, but the gods were like also sinners. The pagan gods were like not righteous, not holy. And it was just casual and natural and so on. Go to the gods and propitiate them and pray to them or sack. It's not like us. Because when you are born again, another nature comes into your life. And this is very simple and kind of singular. It's called a tree of life. You know, this is Christ, the tree of life. It's simple, and it's powerful, and it's spiritual, and it's the Holy Spirit, and it's life, the life of God. It's simple, it's clear, it's holy, and it's powerful. And it's not sin. This tree is not sin. This is God's mind, God's will, God's spirit. That's our gift. Christ was given to us. We have Christ as we sit here today. Christ is in us. Can you hear it? Do you believe what I'm saying? Do you have Bible verses backing up what it is that I'm saying? Yes, we are studying the Bible to know I'm not just talking like a man, just talking about what I think. No, we say chapter and verse, and we look at Jesus, and we want Jesus to teach me who I am, who we are. I want Jesus to make it clear to me we are victorious in him. This is Romans 8. But this Romans 8 is reinforcing this reality in our life. You know, you can do that after the service, like, this is not my message, Romans 7 is. But after, you know, during the week, you can read Romans 8 and just say, like, read it and realize if God gave us his son, how he cannot give us anything more. How can he that spared not his own son not freely give us all things? But God is holy, not a pagan God. Not like a little pagan gods that'll make you rich or curse somebody, a pagan God that you'll be blessed, you know, wear this thing around your neck, and you know, you will be a blessed, or you will live long, or you will get married, or you have many children. That's what these fortune tellers tell you up on Route 40. Okay, I don't go there, but I pass by. I'm looking at your license plates. No, I mean, what are you doing in there? What are you doing in there? That's the devil's workshop. That's the devil is in there. Now, you don't want to be in there. So look at this is interesting. When you come to Jesus, you turn your back on other gods. Did you know that? You turn your back on the other gods. I don't have other gods. I don't have a marijuana god. I don't want to have any other gods. I want to have Jesus as my God. I've got God. I don't need any other. I don't need a rabbit foot. How about some NBA players that wear the same socks because they hit 10 three-pointers when they're wearing those socks, or they wear the same socks? You can do that. I don't care about it. But I think God had you make those 10 three-pointers. And our God is not our socks. Like, grow up. Learn how to live and think with God. And turn your back on the world and the gods of this world. And the world doesn't like it. They don't like it. They don't like it. You turn your back on other gods. Yeah. I don't need it. Yes, you do. No, I don't. Like Jesus. I don't need it. This is Jesus. Like Jesus, don't you need other, don't you need this and need that? No, I don't. I'm free. I have all things in him. I have my Father leading me. I have my Father that talks to me. My Father that is guiding me. Yeah, but Jesus, you're going to die. Yeah, I'm here for that reason. And I'm going to save the world. And I'll be raised from the dead. And I'm going to sit at his right hand. How about those marbles? What about that story? How about that message? What about that gospel? And what about us? Like, we have this amazing temptation to live over here. So let's read it. Romans chapter 7, some of it needs some explanation, and I'm not going to be able to give you much, but you can bear with me. This is not exhaustive, very specific teaching. The text is amazing, and it could be taken apart for weeks and months of teaching, but you can follow it with me. The law, verse 12, the law is holy, the commandment holy and just and good. He's talking about the law, like the Ten Commandments and all of Moses' laws. They're good. So, but what about it? Well, they kind of, with my sin nature, they've set up a standard. And what happens, we can put it this way, I'll make a sketch here. God, then we have law, and we can put here the Ten Commandments as an example of the law, and then there's me. And the law, I find when I live by law, and the law is good, it's good. You shall not commit adultery, will not bear false witness, you shall not steal or covet. Okay, I should not, okay. But as I live that way with what I should not do, there's something present here with me, and that's evil is present with me. Let me say it again. I should not lie. I will not lie. I do not lie. But why do I feel like I could lie or I should lie? Or why is that so close to me? Why is it that I have that feeling in me? It's because I have a sin nature. That is, the law is good, but the law also brings present with me the things that I should not do. Like, it's present with the law is the anti-law, the rebellion, or I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Like, that happens. I mean, that's important for you to understand this. You will react. You will say, I'm not going to read my Bible anymore. I'm not going to church anymore. I don't want to do that. I believe in God. That's enough. I believe in God. I don't want to live by any rules. I don't want any instruction or disciplines and so on. That's just, That, what is that? That's my sin nature saying that. That's my sin nature. And another day, I could say, you know, I know it's good to read my Bible. I know it's good to go to church. I know that. I know that, that those are all good things. I know that. But on another day, it's only a week, a month, a year, 2 years later, you're going to feel this other anti-feeling. Because they go together. It's the good and the evil. It's the tree of knowledge of good and also evil. And when I would do good, evil is present. That's why I have, we have the chairs like close to each other. They are present here. Okay, this is the, this is something about you and I that we should understand. We're all the same in this regard. We all have a sin nature. We all have a, like a rebellion. We all have something we're upset about or angry about. We all have this capacity to say, no, I don't want it. And actually, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That you would realize that you have a problem. And that problem is to bring us over where our problem are to like give up on it. Give up on it. Just surrender. Just give up on it. I don't read the Bible. I don't read the Bible enough. I don't pray. I don't pray enough. It's like, okay, whatever. Forget it. What should you do? I go to the cross. I surrender. I believe God is for me. I say, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? How will I get out of this? Oh, wretched man that I am. This is the text that we'll read. So, it's simple. It's just a picture of what it is to live in the Spirit. Like, don't fight with it. Just say that I'm a sinner. I'm surrendering to God. And I'm saying, God, fill me with your Spirit. Guys, this back and forth thing, it's not edifying. Okay, I do really good, really good, really good. Then I get proud about it. Now, what about my pride? I realize, you know, I don't know, Lord, I have some spiritual pride. Or arrogance, or I'm judging people, and that's not good. That's because I'm good. I'm doing good. And God is saying, you're right. Like, you're good. You doing good gives you the impression that actually you're pretty good. And you compare yourself to other people and put down other people. And actually, I'm not, you know, that's not impressing me. That's not touching me. That's not why I saved you. I saved you so that you could be filled with the Spirit and know me. And in knowing me, there's a simplicity there. It's like it's a simplicity of faith. And it's Jesus is in your life. And you just have Jesus in your life. Are you good? I don't know. It doesn't matter. I'm not. I've got life. Are you reading your Bible? Yeah. I actually, to be honest, I don't talk about it like that, but actually, I'm really getting a lot out of it. How much you read? I don't know. I'm really getting a lot. I enjoy it. It's like God is speaking to my heart. I love it. But yeah, are you in the program reading the Bible? Yeah, maybe I am, or maybe not. It's not like that. It's life, and it's peace, and it's joy, and it's liberty. It's the life of Christ. You are free in Christ. You are in the Spirit. You're not putting down people. You are loving people. Also here, by the way, you can isolate yourself from people, but be with them. I can be with people, but I have this protection and self-interest. I hope they see that I'm doing good. I hope they realize that I am a good Christian. I hope they realize that I'm behaving. Have you noticed how well I behave? and how I'm careful with how I talk. And you realize that, you know, I'm living a very, you know, pretty good life. Do you know that? This person is not ministering. This person is occupied with themselves at the tree of knowledge of good. And as they do good, there's that plaguing presence of evil there. Like, I got to be careful. I got to manage my life and be careful that nobody sees me mess up. I'm guarding my life. What an amazing story that is. I'm guarding my life. I'm sensitive about what other people think of me. I'm sensitive. And if there's gossip about me, there's gossip about me. Okay, let's go over here. Jesus, they're gossiping about you. And Jesus goes, what? Yeah, they don't think well of you. So, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm ministering to them. I have life. I'm walking past them. I'm not even thinking of them at the moment. I'm about my Father's will. I have life. Jesus, how are you doing? I'm burdened for the how blind people are. I'm in a world of sinful people who don't recognize what is really going on. I'm burdened. I'm a man of sorrows. But paradoxically, I'm filled with joy, for in the presence of God is the fullness of joy. And I'm very free. I'm free. I'm not afraid of people. I'm not trying to make an impression. I'm not in a program the way people are as sinners. I am free. I'm a minister. I'm free as a minister. And so are you. And that's amazing. It's simple. And it's real. Okay, let's finish read the text, and maybe this will go along with the text here. Look at Romans 7, 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me, God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Law is spiritual. Jesus is spiritual, but I am carnal. And I am. Jesus is spiritual, but I will crucify him. Not because he is spiritual, he is good, he is spiritual, but I am sold under sin, so I will crucify him. The church is life, but I am carnal, and I will find fault with the church, because I am carnal. The law is good, but I am carnal, sold under sin. I will find that the law cannot help me. It's like washing my face with a mirror. I look in a mirror, and the mirror shows me I'm dirty, but the mirror cannot wash my face. The law cannot help me find Christ, because I am sold under sin. I am a sinner. By the law, I cannot find Christ. It only brings me in the dilemma of when the law, under the law, I have good and I have evil present. I have this conflict in my heart with the law. But when we find Christ, we find life. Spirit, verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. I would do that, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. I don't know what that would mean for you. I'll make a light of it by making a little joke about it, that the chocolate cake or the ice cream late at night, the doctor said I should cut that out. And I hate it, but that's what I do. I ate two tubs of it. Two tubs of hubby chubby ice cream before I go to bed. Okay, but why? I can't control that sin nature, by myself. I need a cross. The cross is what changed our lives. Christ went to the cross, crucified us, raised from the dead. Now we are free. We have another life. But let's talk about these two chairs. Verse 17. Or 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. That's, the devil made me do it. My sin nature made me do it. That sounds like a cop out. You sinned. Who? How did you sin? It was my sin nature that did that. Yeah, that was you. You did that. I go, no, it was my sin nature that did that. That's what he's saying. It's my sin nature. No, you did that. You made a decision. You stole the money. You stole the money. No, it was my sin nature that did that. Yes. That's you, isn't it? Isn't that you? Let's read it. 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. How about it? How to do it? How about it? Come on. There are so many people addicted to things, and how to get out of it, I cannot find. I cannot find how to get out of it. I have addiction, bad habits, addictions, whatever. I cannot find how to perform, how to get out of it. I don't find it. I can't find it. This is Paul saying this. Brilliant. It's amazing. Verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not. For the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. So it's me. But why did he separate himself? He said, if I sin, it's not me. It's sin that dwells in me. Then who are you? I am in him. That's who I am. Come on. Are you kidding? This isn't you. That's you. No, this is me. No, this isn't you. If this was you, you would not have sinned. No, that's you. Yeah, now I sinned, but that's not me. Because I've been born of him. This is me. This is my identity. This is a big problem. This is a big problem with Christians. Their identity is that one. This is me. I am the alcoholic. My name is David. I'm an alcoholic. That's who I am. That's me. And we say to the Alcoholics Anonymous, that organization, and I don't know much about, I know about it in principle, but I would like to say that there's a difference. I thank God for their work. People that get help and they stop drinking, I'm all about it. Whatever way to get out of that bad habit, that destructive thing, I'm happy for it, so I don't mean it that way. But I would like to say, my name is David, and I am a child of God. No, you're an alcoholic. No, I'm not. That was sin that dwells in me. But for me to live is Christ. That to die is gain. And that this is my new identity. And this is where I want to park. This is how I want to think. I want to think with God. By the way, this isn't positive thinking. Positive thinking is great too. Upgrade it to God's thinking. God's thinking isn't like just positive. Positive thinking is excellent habit. Have positive thinking. We have that. But we have something deeper. We have something deeper to go through trials. We need God's thinking. I'm going a little long, but I want to finish. I want to say this, that when Job went into his trial, he said something true. And it was, naked I came from the womb, naked I will return. What kind of theology is that? That's a good statement. It's not a bad statement. I came out naked. I'm going to the grave naked. I'm going dying naked. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was a good confession. But it's not deep enough to carry him through his trial. We need more. We need this tree of life as leading us in our doctrine, leading us in the attributes of God. Excuse me, leading us in the nature of God and the life of God. And Job found that in his trial. I'm just making a simple point. There are believers that they get stuck over here. They do. They get stuck over here. This is me. Woe is me. You know, how will I ever get out of this? How does this work? This is me. I'm like a schizophrenic mess. I'm a believer, but actually I got a secret life. You know, I want to do the right thing, but I can't actually do it. Like, whoa, this is me. And we're saying, no, read these words in your heart and realize that Paul is saying that, oh, wretched man that I am. Let's finish it there. It says, oh, wretched man that I am, verse 24. Who will deliver me from this body of this death? And that's an amazing conclusion to the problem. And you say, how will I ever get out of this? How will it ever change? And then he says, I thank God through Christ Jesus. That's verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ. With the mind, I serve the law of God. With the flesh, the law of sin. You know what? Let's finish with that one. I thank God with my mind. That's the mind of grace, the mind of faith, the mind of doctrine that's teaching us who we are. We are serving God. We serve the law of God. When he says serve the law of God, it's more than just Ten Commandments. It's like we are serving in the nature of God. We are serving in the spirit of God. We are with my mind, we are serving God with life. Not under the law, but under grace in Romans 6:14. All right, that's the end. I hope this helps. I do. I hope it helps. It's good. Yes, Jesus. You are amazing, God. We have turned our backs on all the gods in the world. The world doesn't like it, but we love it. When we have found a living God, they have no other gods before us. We ride above. We are free. We are free above our sin nature that pulls us into bondage. We are free in the bondage of fear and the guilt and the bondage of unbelief and so on. Oh, God, thank you. Fill us with your spirit all day long. Lead us all through the week. Guide us in our decisions, convictions, and persuasions. In Jesus' name. Anyone listening, not a believer, come to Christ. It's that simple. Come to Christ as you are. Come to Christ today. Come to Christ by faith. Say, Jesus, I need you. Come into my life. And I want to put all my trust in you. In Jesus' name. And I pray. Amen.